From Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is the local edition. I'm Jason Dole. Thank you so much for being here with me tonight. Coming up, America's 250th year arrived in a country that's sharply divided. StoryCorps and NPR's Morning Edition are trying to bridge those divides with Connect 250. Radio Catskill's Ronald Kelson talks to Dave Isay, founder of StoryCorps, coming up in the second half of the program. Plus, cleanup efforts at 20 military bases in New York have been delayed, including in the Hudson Valley. WAMC's Elias Guerra reports on what this means for local communities. And a naturalization ceremony plan for Ulster County has been canceled for the second time this year. We'll hear from County Clerk Taylor Brook about why the federal government says there aren't enough candidates and what the cancellations mean for local folks who have worked hard and waited for years to become citizens. We do have news first from New York City, as President Donald Trump says he's looking into whether the federal government can stop the city's new pied-à-terre tax. A state judge on Staten Island has already paused the new levy, which was set to take effect next year. The city plans to tax second homes worth more than $5 million and condos and co-ops worth more than $1 million. On social media, President Trump has said the policy will drive wealthy people out of New York City. He calls the tax a, quote, dangerous political experiment that will destroy the city and state. Governor Hochul says that she's undeterred.
Paying your fair share. Donald Trump ought to focus on all the pain he's causing New Yorkers and knock it off, and don't worry about us.
The city expects to raise $500 million a year from the new tax. City officials say they will fight for it in court. Republican Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman is trying to energize upstate voters as part of his campaign to oust Governor Hochul. He was recently in New York's 21st Congressional District, which stretches north from the northern Catskills and includes all of the Adirondack region. As WNYC's Jimmy Vielkind reports, immigration is a key issue for Blakeman.
Hundreds of people are at a banquet hall near Great Sacandaga Lake on a perfect summer Sunday. It's a rally for Anthony Constantino, a Republican running to succeed Congressmember Elise Stefanik in this northern New York district. And the special guest is Bruce Blakeman.
Bruce, it is a real pleasure to meet you.
Any Republican hoping to win statewide office in New York needs to run up the score in deep red upstate areas like this. But Blakeman has some baggage to overcome. He edged Stefanik out of the race for governor last year, even after party leaders had endorsed her. Stefanik hasn't endorsed Blakeman, but Constantino has. So this rally is something of a kumbaya. Sue McNeil chairs the Fulton County Republican Committee. She had backed Stefanik.
So you don't have any bad blood?
Oh my gosh, no. We can't. We have to unite.
McNeil says what matters most are issues, and voters in this part of the state care deeply about public safety and securing the border. That's a top concern for Angela Ryan. She emigrated from Italy and says she became a citizen in 2016 just so she could vote for President Trump.
I pray that Mr. Blakeman will address the immigration problem because I'm an immigrant. And, you know, when I came to this country, I had gone through all the steps.
Thank you all.
When Blakeman took the stage, one of his biggest applause lines came after attacking Hochul for directing almost $4 billion of state money to help asylum seekers bus to New York during the Biden administration.
All they have to do is step foot in New York State, and they get free food, free transportation, free housing, and a free cell phone, while New Yorkers get stuck paying the bill. That ends. No more.
Hochul says helping migrants was the right thing to do.
I'm going to stand up for New Yorkers.
She's based her campaign on touting programs to put money in people's pockets, like free school lunches and one-time rebate checks. The governor also signed a new state law that restricts local governments from cooperating with federal immigration agents. Hochul says the Trump administration shouldn't be detaining immigrants who haven't committed crimes.
Communities do not want to see people warehoused in subhuman conditions and treated inhumanely. People that have been making pizza for them for 25 years or caring for their kids or their friends or running, you know, small startup businesses. That's not how we treat people in the state of New York.
Hochul's campaign keeps tying Blakeman to Trump. Polls show the president and his immigration policies are viewed unfavorably by a majority of New York voters. Grant Reher is a political science professor at Syracuse University. He says Blakeman should focus on pocketbook issues that cut across the political spectrum because New York has so many registered Democrats.
The problem with the energy costs and other things that are often related to affordability is they're not as emotionally gripping. So I think that's what he's reaching for with those cultural things. I just don't think the arithmetic is there to hang your hat on that in New York State.
Rieger pointed out that the last Republican elected to statewide office in New York was George Pataki, a moderate. He won in 2002. In Mayfield, I'm Jimmy Vielkind for the New York Public News Network.
Cleanup efforts at 20 military bases in New York have reportedly been significantly delayed. WAMC's Elias Guerra has more on what this means for some Hudson Valley communities.
Recent USA Today reporting found that an analysis of military records shows the deadline to clean up contamination surrounding hundreds of military bases has been pushed back decades, including 20 bases in New York. Dan Shapley with Riverkeeper said the apparent 20-year delay of cleanup at Stewart Air National Guard Base is totally unacceptable.
We have just this year started to see the first projects implemented to really reduce the amount of contamination leaving the base in years. So we need to keep that momentum going rather than see any kind of stalling of progress.
Around 2016, residents of Newburgh and New Windsor were notified that their public and private drinking water sources had been contaminated with PFAS forever chemicals stemming from the use of firefighting foam. PFAS and the broader category of PFAS have been linked to a variety of diseases and health concerns, from cancer to increased infertility. The city of Newburgh changed its water source from Washington Lake in 2016 because of the contamination. The Department of Defense did not immediately respond to requests for comment. For the New York Public News Network, I'm Elias.
And thank you to the New York Public News Network for those reports. Now, the federal government has canceled a naturalization ceremony in Ulster County for the second time. The ceremony, which was scheduled for September, was called off by U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, USCIS, which says there aren't enough candidates to hold it. Ulster County Clerk Taylor Bruck has raised concerns about the cancellations and the impact on people who have already waited years to become U.S. citizens. He spoke with Tim Bruno this morning on Radio Chatskill.
Mr. Bruck, welcome.
Good morning, Tim. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's deja vu all over again. We talked to you about this before when USCIS canceled the naturalization ceremony the first time. This time, again, they're saying there aren't enough candidates for the September ceremony. What's your reaction when you learned that this ceremony is being canceled yet again?
Certainly surprising and frustrating. Again, like we spoke about last time, in 2024, we had talked to USCIS about expanding our naturalization ceremonies because there was such a backlog of people waiting to be naturalized that had completed almost the entire process. So we started scheduling them at larger venues to naturalize upwards of 100 people per ceremony. And then to hear last year that there wasn't enough candidates. And then this year for America's 250th, we had planned to do four where we naturalized up to 100. And they said with enough lead time, that shouldn't be an issue. And so far at our first ceremony, we had 36 people. At the second one, we had 16. And now there's not enough for a single one. So I'm not sure why there's not enough eligible candidates. It seemed like there were. And it's just frustrating for the folks who have been waiting all this time and have been following the procedures they were told to follow.
Do you have any independent information about why USCIS says there are now so few eligible candidates for the ceremony?
No, they were, you know, very vague in their reasoning. They just said that they prioritize a thorough screening process and vetting to make sure that all the applicants meet all the eligibility requirements, but it does seem like fewer and fewer of them are meeting those eligibility requirements. So I'm not certain if those requirements have changed. I know that there is that list of countries that are currently banned from being naturalized. But other than that, I really have no idea. I couldn't tell you.
And it's, as you said, confusing because you had been dealing with a backlog of people waiting to complete this naturalization process. You've planned these events. You've had them already this year. What are you hearing from people who are waiting to take the Oath of Allegiance?
They're confused. They're calling and saying, you know, that they were told that they would be on the list at the next ceremony. it's just unclear when that next ceremony is going to be now. And this doesn't seem to be necessarily a local issue. It looked like between January and April last year, we had, as a country, naturalized about 97,000 new citizens. And this year, in that same time span from January to April, it's about 24,000. So we are naturalizing about 75% less people than we were last year. So it's just shocking to me that that amount of people would not now be meeting the eligibility requirements when they were just last year.
And another change, it seems USCIS has changed the longstanding practice of reimbursing county clerks for administering the Oath of Allegiance. What impact does that have on local government like Ulster County?
It certainly has a budgetary impact for really all counties statewide that conduct the naturalization ceremonies. And that was kind of the first indication that things were going to be maybe a little more difficult with this administration, that came before they canceled all of the ceremonies indefinitely last year. There was a different excuse given that our courts maybe didn't meet the statutory requirements to be naturalizing citizens. So the goalposts sort of keep moving on this issue, and it just seems to me personally like they're doing anything they can to naturalize fewer and fewer people, making it more difficult. And if the idea is to combat illegal immigration, naturalization is the obvious answer. Once they're naturalized, they are now legal citizens. And I just wish there was more effort put forward to making this more efficient.
So you think it might be an intentional delay at the federal level rather than a lack of eligible candidates?
It's either intentional or incompetence. I don't know how else to put it. There certainly was a long list of candidates who were eligible and waiting who are now either ineligible or are still in the process of determining whether or not they're eligible. It's really unprecedented, at least in the last decade I've been here. Naturalization ceremonies have never been canceled. We've held small ones through COVID.
Service in Binghamton has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for South Central Sullivan County in Central New York, Northeastern Pike County in Northeastern Pennsylvania until 6:45 p.m. At 6:10 p.m., a severe thunderstorm was located near Holly, or 12 miles southeast of Holmesdale, moving east at 30 miles per hour. Hazard, 60 miles per hour in gusts and quarter-size hail. Source, radar indicated. Impact, hail damage to vehicles is expected. Expect wind damage to roofs, siding, and trees. Locations impacted include McCallixon, Chihala, Greeley, Highland Lake, Twin Lakes, Kimballs, Berryville, and Roland. For your protection, move to an interior room on the lowest floor of a building. Repeating, a severe thunderstorm warning has been issued until 6:45 p.m. for the following county, Pike, Pennsylvania, and Sullivan, New York.
Because they're really one of the more important things that we do here in the clerk's office and statewide. We love welcoming new citizens, and it's just a shame that this has to keep getting pushed off further and further.
With the increased immigration enforcement happening at the same time, people are experiencing these longer waits for legal status and citizenship. What long-term concerns does that raise for you?
Well, it makes people more nervous to interact with the legal process. So if your plan is to have people do it, quote-unquote, the right way and follow the process, making the process more difficult and calling more of their eligibility requirements into question, especially things like, you know, posting ICE agents outside of immigration courts when you're telling them you want them to go to these courts to do it the right way, Why would somebody go through the effort of trying to do it the right way if it's intentionally made difficult and combative? I think it's just, it's opposite of what the intended stated goal is, which is to have folks do this the right way, follow the rules, and become legalized citizens.
What do you want people in Ulster County who are waiting for their citizenship ceremony to know right now?
I want them to know that their elected officials, at least here in Ulster County, have their back. We've been in touch with our elected officials at the federal level, our Congressman Pat Ryan, Senators Gillibrand and Schumer. I spoke with all of our elected officials to just try to get support and really pressure the administration like we had to do last year to consider the impact of what these kind of decisions make on folks. And just I would let them know, hang tight. We're working on it. We're trying our best to get you over the finish line. We know how expensive and arduous the process is, and anything that we can do, we are trying. So just hang tight, keep the faith, and hopefully in December we'll see you there.
Ulster County Clerk Taylor Bruck, thank you for joining us.
Of course. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you to Tim Bruno for that conversation. Remember, you can hear Tim Bruno every weekday morning with more local news and conversations on Radio Chatskill every weekday morning at 10. We've got more news on the way. Be talking to StoryCorps about Connect 250. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
For anybody who has heard Donald Trump talk about the old Air Force One, the notion of old time's sake was a little hard to believe. It didn't seem like the kind of sentimental trip he would want to take. And what we've learned since is that the president was on a third plane.
I'm Rachel Abrams. That's Today on the Daily from the New York Times.
It's the Local Edition. I'm Jason Dole. In celebration of the 250th birthday of America, StoryCorps is teaming up with NPR's Morning Edition for Connect 250, a time capsule of American voices and stories. Each participant will be matched with a stranger from across the country for a 40-minute conversation about their lives, attempting to bridge the divides between people in the same way as StoryCorps' One Small Step project did, which Radio Catskill hosted in their area, only this will be nationwide, and the conversations may end up in the Library of Congress. But the window to sign up ends at the end of this month on August 31st. For more on Connect 250, Radio Catskill's Ronald Kelson spoke with Dave Isay, founder of StoryCorps.
So you founded StoryCorps all the way back in 2003. It began with just a talking booth in Grand Central Terminal in New York City. Did you think that StoryCorps would become this national nonprofit with thousands of participants across the country?
I didn't. When we started StoryCorps, it was a time-bound project that we were planning on ending after a decade. And here we are 23 years later, and I'm hoping that I'll be working on this until they put me in a pine box. You know, this is a lifetime effort. It's, you know, someone once said to me, actually very recently said to me, you know, StoryCorps is playing in the sandbox of humanity. It's just about who we are as human beings. So it's endlessly fascinating. I'm not someone with a very long attention span, but this has kept my attention intensely for more than two decades now.
Sure. And, you know, staying back in 2003, what do you think were some of the reasons you felt the need to start StoryCorps and have those changes adapted to today?
Yeah, no, StoryCorps is constantly adapting. And as you well know, working on One Small Step, I was talking to the person who founded StoryCorps with me, employee number one, a couple of weeks ago. And he reminded me that he had asked me why are you doing this? And I said, you know, I had been a radio documentary producer for decades before starting StoryCorps. And I said, doing, you know, interviews with people. And I said, you know, I get to run around the country talking to people who I haven't talked before. And the microphone gives you the license to say things, to ask things that you've never, as you well know, that you've never talked about before. It's an incredible gift. And also, you know, honoring people and having the gift of seeing people kind of rise up when they're asked these questions. So I said I wanted everyone to have the experience that I had of being able to ask questions like this. So that's one of the many reasons that that I started StoryCorps. And yeah, we are constantly adapting. You know, 10 years ago, we created an app, so it's possible to do a StoryCorps interview and with one tap upload it to the Library of Congress. We have One Small Step, which was the first time we started working with strangers, in that case, as you know, across political divides. And Connect 250 is another innovation for us. And that's this incredible, you know, platform that is matching strangers, kind of like a dating app, to have this like, hey, America, meet America experience, as you said, a time capsule of who we are at the 250th of America.
Moving up a little bit in time here, how do you think the pandemic exacerbated the need for StoryCorps and its programming?
Well, when the pandemic hit, that was the first time we created a way for people to be matched and have StoryCorps conversations over video, because obviously we couldn't do face-to-face conversations anymore. You know, I think part of what we're doing with Connect 250, and we do want this, I think, may be the last interview that I do on Connect 250. Most of them were before July 4th, but the platform is still open. And we want people to join the platform. I mean, I think that, you know, we live in a country where a lot of people feel isolated, lonely. There's a lot of distrust. So what we're trying to do is help, you know, create proximity between people and, you know, remind people of that truth that, you know, all of us, no matter where we are on the political spectrum, no matter who we are, the vast majority of us are basically good. So this is StoryCorps is, I like to think, kind of a hope machine, a proximity machine, and an empathy machine. And again, we're seeing with Connect 250, like it completely, like it's beyond expectations. We had more than 10,000 people pre-register before we opened up in early July. We have interviews coming in every minute between people. And if I can, you know, we know the Catskills well and are thrilled to be on Radio Catskill. And if you want to be part of this experiment in human connection, you can go to connect250.org and sign up. No more pre-registrations. We're open for business, and we'd love to have you be part of this kind of dating app for democracy, I guess you could say.
Dating app for democracy. That's special branding right there.
made up right here.
There you go.
You heard it here first.
Yes. So about specifically the Connect 250 program now, why the semi-quincentennial? Why now? StoryCorps, we've talked about it, the One Small Step program, other programs are not necessarily doing or trying to accomplish the same thing, but why the 250th anniversary? Why did you choose that to be the launching point for this specific program?
So I like to think that StoryCorps tries to do beautiful things, and sometimes we do beautiful things last minute. And this was a last minute effort. I think that we at StoryCorps were looking at all of the offerings around America 250 and were kind of underwhelmed, very partisan, kind of very, very loud celebrations. And we wanted to do something in the spirit of StoryCorps and public broadcasting that's more a whisper in your ear. So in about 6-7 weeks, we developed this platform and we launched it. And the idea was that America deserves to be honored in ways at the 250th, and we wanted to do something that was going to survive until the 350th. So, as we both said, you know, it's kind of a time capsule that our great 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 grandkids can look back on to understand who we are as Americans. And I think, and I hope that it's a better representation and a more true representation of what they might get if they looked at Twitter, X, or, you know, some of the 24-hour cable news. I mean, it's just who we are. As you know, StoryCorps brings out the best in us. All the interviews go to the Library of Congress. This is, you know, everybody becomes part of American history. So it's an attempt to do a more realistic, a gentler, and more human take on the 250th.
Yeah, you mentioned the celebrations that are happening all over the country the entire year. A lot of them more overtly patriotic, to say the least, whether it's reenactments, rededications, historical lectures, and a ton more. How is the Connect 250 program in a way also celebrating the American 250th anniversary in a similar way.
Well, I mean, I think what we were focused on was kind of what was going on in Washington. And someone described it as storm, sweat, and fire over the you know, 4th of July weekend. But that's, you know, look, it's total, there's room for all kinds of different celebrations. And, you know, to me, StoryCorps, participating in StoryCorps is a patriotic act. It's, you know, it takes some courage. People come into these interviews a little bit nervous, as you well know, and they come out almost to a person, friends. So I think that, you know, the purpose of StoryCorps in general, and especially Connect 250, is to strengthen the bonds between us. And, you know, when you talk about some of the, you know, we talked about isolation and loneliness, you know, there are a lot of conspiracy theories, all kinds of stuff is rising up because of the fact that we don't have proximity to each other. You know, there are studies that show we're half as likely to know our neighbors now than we were 10, 15 years ago. So it's just, you know, to me, the most patriotic act you can do is to, you know, love your neighbor. And that's what we're trying to do with Connect 250.
What kind of impact do you want Connect 250 to have on American society and also all of StoryCorps programs?
Well, I, you know, it goes back to what I just said. You know, I think that we hope that Connect 250 and StoryCorps as a whole just draws us a little bit closer together. And you know, the one of the things about Connect 250 that I think is interesting and that we're seeing is what's called the stranger on the train phenomena. That sometimes it's easier to talk to someone you don't know than it is to talk to someone you do know. I mean, I've done two interviews, and I did one yesterday, and I'm not a crier at all, but I broke in the interview, and I don't quite understand what it is about StoryCorps that makes that happen. But there is something about, I mean, it's almost when you're having a conversation with someone, you know, and it's kind of the opposite of reality TV. No one comes to StoryCorps to get rich or famous or, you know, it's just an act of generosity and love. And, you know, when you're doing something story, you know, there is a certain purity to StoryCorps, I like to think. You're kind of walking on holy ground when you have that kind of conversation.
Is there anything else you'd like to say before we sign off?
No, but I'm grateful to Radio Catskill for being a partner on One Small Step. And I do hope that people will come to connect250.org and be a part of this. I can speak from personal experience. It's amazing. And we want as many people from the Catskills as possible to be in the record for 100 years from now for our great, great grandkids to understand that we're not who you might think we are if you tuned in and looked at social media.
That's Dave Isay, founder of StoryCorps, who, in collaboration with NPR's Morning Edition, is presenting Connect 250, a program that matches participants with a stranger from across the country for a 40-minute conversation about their lives. The window to sign up ends August 31st. You can find out more information at connect250.org. Dave, thank you so much for joining me, and good luck the rest of the way.
Ron, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ronald, for that conversation. And thank you, listener, for being here with me. That is it for the Local Edition. I'm Jason Dole, and I will be back here again with you tomorrow evening. Coming up at 7, it's a retro cocktail hour, followed by virtual soundscapes at 9 with Matt Hurtado. Before any of that, we've got more news on the way from The Daily. This is Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from The DeBruce in Livingston Manor, New York, a restaurant and hotel overlooking the Willowemoc Valley, featuring 12 guest rooms, 2 restaurant experiences, and an endless backyard for fly fishing and hiking. TheDeBruce.com. From Grizzly Bagels, small batch, handmade, New York-style bagels in Roscoe, New York. GrizzlyBagels.com. And from listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.org.
At Morning Edition from NPR News, we just ask the question.
Is that statement true?
Get to the point with NPR every weekday morning.
Weekday mornings starting at 5 on Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville. You're listening to Radio Catskill.